Alitalia is sold, pending a few third-party approvals. Delta says it's revising its business model in light of rising fuel costs. And the head of NASA doesn't want another space race. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, March 18th, 2008. Alitalia has been sold to Air France KLM. If you're Italian, this is a little hard to take, especially when you find out the selling price of $1.7 billion in the buyer's stock works out to one share in Air France KLM for every 160 shares in Alitalia. That's about 0.10 euro per share, or an 80% discount from Alitalia's Friday closing stock price. But after more than a year of demands by Italian politicians that didn't pencil out for any prospective buyer, even the diehards are conceding this had to be done. Air France KLM tells the New York Times it plans to inject 1 billion euros into Alitalia's operations, assuming the Italian government, Alitalia's unions, and EU regulators approve, which is expected by the end of June. Among the immediate needs are a fleet update to reduce fuel consumption. Battling new domestic rivals like Air One, Alitalia's share of the Italian travel market declined from over 80% 10 years ago to about 30% today. The carrier loses an estimated 1 million euros every day it's in operation and is about 1.3 billion euros in debt. Italian Labor Minister Cesare Damiano noted, quote, "I think that the government has acted to arrive at a positive solution," unquote. Barcelona-based analyst Dan Salone commented, quote, "If you believe that 2008 is going to be a very bad year economically, then obviously to the extent that they can get through consolidation of the industry quickly, then Air France can present this to the Italians as an alternative to going bust on their own in this environment," unquote. Approval by the government is not a slam dunk. Air France KLM has made it clear it will drastically cut operations at Milan, which has won the dubious distinction of worst airport in the world in surveys. Local government officials there will no doubt attempt to pressure the national government for guarantees to avoid cuts at Milan. Union approval will also not come easily, as some workforce consolidation will be needed to make the operation profitable. Even if it's approved, some analysts believe Alitalia is too far gone to be saved. Stay tuned. Delta Airlines says its biggest expense, fuel, has risen 85% in cost in the past year, and the airline will announce changes to its business plan within the next few days. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports Chief Executive Richard Anderson broke the news Friday to employees, some of whom may not have a role in that new plan. In December, Delta announced it would save $400 million by reducing domestic capacity up to 5%, getting rid of some older planes, and eliminating an undisclosed number of jobs, mostly through attrition. But Anderson says more is needed. Quote, "You'll continue to see a more comprehensive plan that will roll out in reaction to changes in the marketplace. At the same time, we're working hard within the revenue environment to right-size the airline to the marketplace," unquote. Unions hate that term, right-size. Anderson says Delta will discontinue several domestic routes that are unprofitable at current fuel prices, try to pass fuel costs on to customers before requiring sacrifices from employees, and will tell workers more on its internal website. Investors drove airline stock prices lower again Monday on news of stalled airline merger talks and record fuel prices, and expected higher costs for the loans that airlines need to buy new aircraft or buy each other. Delta closed on Monday at a new 52-week low of $9.23 per share. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin is taking a pragmatic, if potentially controversial, position on America's presence in space. In a recent interview with the Houston Chronicle, Griffin admits China will probably beat the U.S. back to the moon. He says he's fine with that. Quote, "I will raise my hand and say I do not want another space race." Griffin says that in the long run, the massive effort to be first to the moon with Apollo did more harm than good. Quote, "What happens when you do that is you tend to get a short period of intense funding, and then the attention goes away, funding dissipates, and it's like an army dealing with a retreat. The hardest thing to do in military circles is manage an effective retreat," unquote. Griffin says what he wants for NASA is stable and predictable funding and a stable set of goals. Quote, "Finish the station, retire the shuttle, return to the moon, go to Mars. Those are great goals for the next 50 years. I certainly wouldn't mind a higher level of funding, but the stability of funding is more important than the absolute level," unquote. Griffin says the U.S. needs to develop a policy on what use we expect to make of space in human affairs. The Marine Corps' VH-3D helicopter fleet, used to ferry the U.S. president around, includes aircraft 33 years old. So whatever happened to the new VH-71s that were supposed to replace them? Well, 6 years after the White House called for a more advanced fleet, the Washington Post reports Lockheed Martin and its British partner, Augusta Westland, are a year late, more than $5 billion over the program's original estimated cost of $6.1 billion, and in jeopardy of losing the contract for 28 helicopters. Why? Well, the term is mission creep. On top of the original requirements to carry 14 passengers and a command center up to handling a nuclear attack, armor, anti-missile defenses, and a bathroom, Lockheed has told program supporters the U.S. Navy added 1,900 additional requirements since the contract was awarded. Navy spokeswoman Stephanie Vendrasco responds, quote, "It's not the truth, and we can't figure out where that number comes from. It's a myth, and it's becoming a legend," unquote. John J. Young, Jr., the current Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, does admit, quote, "The Navy and industry team did not clearly realize the full implications of the White House requirements. Redesign work is driving significant cost growth into the program," unquote. For now, the first three VH-71s are due for delivery in 2010. That's 1 year behind schedule, and the Navy had to accept compromises with those helicopters in order to meet that time frame. The remaining 23 fully equipped aircraft were supposed to be delivered in 2015, but that is now considered unlikely. And so, the VH-3Ds soldier on. Up next on ANN, a former Luftwaffe pilot makes a startling confession. A Navy T-34 is down in Alabama. And Southwest's oldest 737s may be history. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 18th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. For 64 years, Horst Rippert has carried a burden on his conscience. The 88-year-old former Luftwaffe pilot fears he may have been the one responsible for the disappearance of Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Reuters reports Rippert believes he may have shot down the French writer and aviator over Marseille on July 31, 1944. Saint-Exupéry disappeared during a secret reconnaissance mission. Excerpts from Rippert's upcoming book, entitled Saint-Exupéry, The Final Secret, were published Sunday in Le Figaro magazine. Rippert admits he can't be certain it was, in fact, Saint-Exupéry at the controls, and frankly, he hopes it wasn't. Rippert says he admired the writer of The Little Prince. Quote, "I didn't see the pilot. I have hoped ever since that it wasn't him," unquote. As ANN reported, wreckage from Saint-Exupéry's P-38 was located in 2000 off the coast near Marseille, but his body has never been found. We told you yesterday that the Air Force lost an F-16 and its pilot in a crash during a training exercise in Arizona. Now comes word another training accident has claimed the lives of two Navy pilots. The T-34C reportedly went down Friday afternoon in mountainous terrain during what was described as a routine training flight at about 1,500 feet above mean sea level. Local media reported fog at the time. The crash site is near Steele, Alabama, at the base of Chandler Mountain. The flight was dispatched from Whiting Field and was reportedly a member of Training Squadron 6. The names of the pilots had not been released as of our deadline. The Southwest Airlines maintenance and inspection saga will never be confused with a soap opera. No soap opera moves this fast. Just since March 6th, Southwest faced a $10 million fine, responded defiantly, conducted an internal maintenance audit, met with the FAA, then more humbly announced it was looking into maintenance ambiguities. Now, the Wall Street Journal reports the airline is considering the pace at which it retires older planes and its outsourcing of maintenance overseas. The journal says Southwest is pursuing major structural upgrades to dozens of its oldest Boeing 737 jets in an effort intended to reduce long-term maintenance expenses. Southwest so far has not commented on the report. With more than 70 light sport aircraft introduced into the U.S. market over the past 2 years, it's getting harder and harder for new entrants to create unique identities. Ramtech Aviation tells ANN that its new plane, the Aldera, will be distinguished by its Canadian heritage. Company President Rex Mead says the Aldera uses advanced composite technology to create a uniquely Canadian tough airplane that incorporates innovative production methods. Quote, "This allows us to offer a significantly lower price point that begins at up to $30,000 less than many competitors. The Aldera is not a revisited advanced ultralight design like many European imports. It is designed from the ground up to deliver performance and the toughness that has become a tradition in Canadian aircraft designs," unquote. Mead says the Aldera prototype is now being completed in what will become the company's permanent manufacturing facility. First flight is expected this May, with deliveries to begin in November. The company says it will soon be able to announce proven performance specifications and introductory pricing. Still ahead, Cessna plans more mobile service units. Embry-Riddle is testing tools to make helicopters safer and less expensive. And Ede Sakata appoints a new test pilot. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 18th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Cessna tells ANN it recently began serving Citation customers with a new mobile service unit designed to save owners and operators time and money on their aircraft maintenance. Cessna Citation Service Centers will operate the mobile service unit, performing nearly all small and medium scheduled and unscheduled maintenance, including engine replacements. The first mobile service unit is based in San Antonio. Stan Younger, Cessna's VP of Service Facilities, says the next three units will be based on the East and West Coasts, where many Citations are located. Quote, "Based on enthusiastic customer response to the first mobile service unit, Cessna has three more in production and a number of additional units planned for the future," unquote. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, in conjunction with Tomlinson Aviation Incorporated of Ormond Beach, Florida, and Systems and Electronics of Chicago, has completed the first set of FAA-sponsored research flights demonstrating technology intended to enhance the safety and commercial viability of helicopters in the U.S. Funded with a grant of $620,000 from the FAA, the project is evaluating health and usage monitoring systems, or HUMS, that use onboard sensors to monitor flight conditions and the health of helicopter components. The prototype hardware was developed by Systems and Electronics. The research flights were successfully completed February 16th. The team from Embry-Riddle's Daytona Beach campus equipped a Bell 206 jet Ranger with an HUMS prototype for collecting aircraft state data in real time. Initial data reductions indicate the tests successfully determined the health of the tail rotor in flight. The team now moves on to demonstrate the same technology enhancements in a smaller piston helicopter similar to those used in pilot training. Ede Sakata announced on Monday the appointment of Stéphane Jacques as chief test pilot. He succeeds Christian Briand, who retired after a 40-year aviation career. The 44-year-old Jacques joined the company last May as a test pilot, following a career with the French Air Force as a lieutenant colonel. Jacques is a 1986 engineering graduate from the French Air Force Academy who flew Mirage F-1s before becoming a test pilot for the military. Representatives with Ede Sakata tell ANN Jacques has flown 4,000 hours in at least 67 aircraft types, ranging from fighters to airliners to light aircraft. Finally, ANN has reported on some bizarre behavior by airline passengers over the years. Over the weekend, the Sunday Times of London pulled together a list of its top 10 ways to get kicked off an airliner. Some are obvious, but some sound like flight crews were just having bad days. EasyJet threw 100 Sunderland AFC soccer fans off a flight after they broke out in a rousing rendition of a song called Niall Quinn's Disco Pants, a song about the soccer club's chairman. The lyrics weren't particularly racy, but maybe 100 Irish soccer fans singing loudly in unison frightened the staff. The list also includes the case of the German guy kicked off a plane in Hawaii for BO, Kyla Ebert's micro miniskirt, the guy who cussed out a flight attendant who took away his porn magazine, a couple that tried to join the Mile High Club in the lav, and the baby who said bye-bye plane over and over until the flight attendant kicked him and his mom off. But there was one case included which went against the trend and got the passenger upgraded. We're referring to the woman who died in an economy seat on a British Airways flight and was reseated next to a sleeping passenger in first class. The airline later apologized to the passenger for the unpleasant surprise of waking up next to a corpse. You know, I take back everything I've ever said about noisy kids on airliners. I really think I'd rather sit next to the 19-month-old who kept saying bye-bye plane than have someone that quiet sitting in the next seat. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Bruce Landsberg, Executive Director of the AOPA Air Safety Foundation. We'll discuss his upcoming talk at tonight's annual Aero Club of New England Crash Course. The topic will be transitioning to glass panels from steam gauges, presented with Cirrus Design Vice President Bill King. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.